In this episode of Michelle Bentham's Creates podcast, she takes her listeners through the remainder of Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus addresses the scripture that indicate that we shouldn't worry, we shouldn't live in fear or anxiousness. And she really focuses in on what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So grab your Bible and a pen and let's jump in. Here's Michelle.
Welcome back. This is Michelle Bentham. I'm the blog owner, the host, the artist, and communicator at michellebenthamcreates.com. You can always follow me on Twitter at Michelle Bentham. That's at Michelle Bentham. M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E. B as in boy, E, N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, H-A-M as in Mary. At Michelle Bentham. You can also find me on Facebook and like my Facebook page, Michelle Bentham, Inspired Artist and Communicator. Or you can go to my website, michellebenthamcreates.com. That's michellebenthamcreates.com. And you can leave me a message by clicking on the contact button. Or you can follow along by subscribing to the blog. We are still in chapter 6 of Matthew. And so as we journey through the Gospels, I want to remind you, if you haven't read Matthew 6 for yourself, go ahead and push pause right now on the podcast or the video and go ahead and follow through with reading through the script passage of Scripture for yourself, making any notes that the Lord might highlight for you in your journal or in the margin of your Bible, and then jump back in and we'll follow through it together. We're going to begin today in a note following verse 13 in the Voice Bible. I want to show you the front of my Bible. It's called The Voice, and it is by Thomas Nelson Publishers. This is the version that I read from every time we get together here at Michelle Bentham Creates Podcast, and we journey through the Gospels together. So I just want to encourage you to pick up your favorite translation and follow along. In the note after verse 13, it says, Jesus says to declare forgiveness of those who have wronged us. This is because forgiveness of other people emulates God's forgiveness of us. And that's exactly what I wrote in my notes. It emulates God's forgiveness of us. This is where we landed last session on Wednesday, was with the story about me forgiving my ex-husband who was my abuser. Now let's proceed with verse 14. Jesus is still talking. He kind of runs like the Energizer Bunny in these passages of Scripture. If you forgive people when they sin against you, then your Father will forgive you when you sin against Him and when you sin against your neighbor. But if you do not forgive your neighbor's sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know, this is one of the hardest things to communicate to people who are holding on to unforgiveness, is that yes, you can hold on to that bitterness and resentment and you can think it's protecting you. But in fact, it's destroying you. It's tearing up your life. It's causing you pain. I had a friend that I ministered to at one time, and that's exactly what she said. I just don't want to be a fool again. I just don't want to get hurt again. I just don't want this to happen to me again. And if I let go of the resentment and the bitterness, then I will not be safe. But the truth is that bitterness becomes a foothold for the enemy, and it's the least safe place you can be in that moment. So I want to encourage you to pursue forgiveness. I'm going to pick up right where we left off last time. Pursue forgiveness. And if you can't right then forgive, pray this prayer. God, I can't forgive blank for what they've done, but you can. So God, I ask you to forgive them and to work out your forgiveness in my heart toward them. You don't forgive them for them, you forgive them for yourself so that you can be free of what's happening between you. Recently, I sat across from a friend, and she's really struggling with forgiving her husband for hurting her many, many times over the course of their relationship. And she thought that not forgiving him would keep her safe. But I read her this passage of Scripture, and I reminded her that God will retain the sins that you retain, and He will forgive the sins that you forgive, and He will judge you based on the same measure that you have judged others. And when you forgive, He forgives you. And she said, okay, let's do it. And he says in verse 16, and when you fast, do not look miserable as the actors and the hypocrites do when they are fasting. They walk around town putting on airs about their suffering and weakness, complaining about how hungry they are. So everyone will know they were fasting. They don't wash or anoint themselves with oil. They don't paint their cheeks or wear comfortable shoes. Those who show off their piety, they have already received their reward. When you fast, wash your face, beautify yourself with oil, so no one who looks at you will know about your discipline. Only your Father who is unseen will see your fast, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Again, we're going to the motive of the heart. Do we do this stuff to be outwardly religiously seen, or do we do it because we want a relationship with the Father? That's what he's asking of us. Some people store up treasures in their homes here on earth, hoarding. This is a short-sighted practice, and don't undertake it. It's right here in the Bible. Don't hoard. Did you catch that? Don't store up treasures in your homes here on earth. Moths and rust will eat up any treasure you may have here, and thieves may break into your homes and steal your precious trinkets. Instead, put your treasures in heaven, where moths do not attack, where rust does not corrode, and where thieves are barred at the door. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. You draw light into your body through your eyes, and light shines out to the world through your eyes. So if your eye is well and shows you what is true, then your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is clouded or evil, then your body will be filled with evil and dark clouds. You see, what we take in with our eyes, what we perceive with our eyes, influences our whole being. It influences our mind. It influences our heart. It influences what we perceive to be acceptable. That's why it's so dangerous, I think, these days, to watch situational comedies on television. And here's why. Because almost all of them portray men to be weak and emasculated, and women to be strong and dominant and in control and in charge and competent. It tears at the very fabric of what a home should be. And it reverses that thing which God has set and ordained in order. We have to be careful, because when we laugh at something, we agree with it. When we sing along with the song on the radio, we agree with it. And where we make agreements, the enemy has the opportunity to come in and traffic in those places where we have given over a little piece of our soul to the world culture and to the enemy. He's saying, if your eye perceives evil, it's going to portray evil through your body. And protect and guard what you see and what you expose yourself to. The eye is well and shows you what is true, then your whole body will be filled with light. And the darkness that takes over the body of a child of God who has gone astray, that is the deepest darkness that there is. When Jesus speaks of eyes and light, he means all people should keep their eyes on God, because the eyes are the windows to the souls. Eyes should not focus on trash, pornography, filth, or expensive things. And this is what he means when he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Eyes are the windows to your soul. What your eyes take in creates the landscape for your soul. They also reflect the truth of what is in your heart. Let's go on. No one can serve two masters. If you try, you will wind up loving the first master and hating the second, or vice versa. People try to serve both God and money, but you can't. You must choose one or the other. It becomes pure motivation at that point. Here is the bottom line. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink. Don't worry about how you clothe your body. Living is about more than merely eating. There are three admonitions here not to worry. We're going to come back to these in a minute, but I want you to hear them. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink. Don't worry about how you'll clothe your body. Living is about more than merely eating, and the body is about more than dressing up. Look at the birds in the sky. They do not store food for the winter. They do not plant gardens. They do not sow or reap, yet they are always fed because your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are even more precious to him than the beautiful bird. If he looks after them, of course he will look after you. Worrying does not do any good. Who here can claim to add even an hour to his life by worrying? Nor should you worry about clothes. Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They do not work or weave or sew, and yet their garments are stunning. Even King Solomon, dressed in his most regal garb, is not as lovely as these lilies. And think about grassy fields. The grasses are here now, and they will be dead by winter, and yet God adorns them so radiantly. How much more will he clothe you, you of little faith, you who have no trust? So do not consume yourselves with questions. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Outsiders make themselves frantic over such questions. They don't realize that your Heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. I want to say that again. Your Heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you. So do not worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Living faithfully is a large enough task for today. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do you see how the cares of the world, focusing your heart on what other people think about you, focusing your heart on how your husband is treating you, focusing your heart on anything that is not God, focusing your heart on what you need, your provision, worrying after money, serving after money, takes you away from the kingdom of God and takes you away from your relationship. Don't pursue those things. Don't pursue. Rather, allow God to meet your needs. Allow yourself to be satisfied in who He is and live faithfully toward Him. And watch Him bless you and grant you the desires of heart. Pure motives. You need pure motivation in your life. You need your eyes to see things that are noble and pure. Philippians 4 talks a lot about this. And in 6 and 7 it says, be anxious about nothing, but through everything, with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And a peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So today, Lord, we just speak to those who fret and worry and suffer with anxiety of every kind. And we say, God, we don't want to worry anymore. Father, speak to their hearts today. Reassure them with your love. Jesus said that He comes to give us peace, and He does not give as the world gives, because the world gives us things and then it takes it back. But Jesus gives us something and it remains. And peace is one of the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit. Peace is Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. When He walks in the room, peace follows after Him. You need His presence to experience His peace. So join Him in His presence daily. Submit your cares to Him. Pray them off of you and onto Him. Be a burden shifter. Take His yoke upon you. It says, come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, because my burden is easy and my yoke is light. He wants to give you rest today. Rest and peace. You know, I've been sick quite a bit this year. Well, for several years, ever since I went on staff at a large church in the DFW Metroplex, I've had bouts of illness throughout those seasons. And recently I was sick again, and there were just things happening. And I began to ask God, God, is there something going on here that I need to address? And He said, rest, trust, and abide. See, you can't abide if you're not resting and trusting. And you can't trust if you're not resting and abiding. And you can't rest if you're not trusting and abiding. They go together. Rest, trust, and abide. And through that comes the peace and the love of God. Through the power of God. There's nothing you can't do when you rest, you trust, and you abide. Make Him your dwelling place. You know, I want to turn to Psalm 91 and just read the last part of it to you, because it's so beautiful. And it speaks about this rest, trust, and abide principle. And so I just want to cover that real quick. And so while I flip there, I encourage you to flip there as well. Psalm 91. Here it is. Because He clings to me in love, I will rescue Him from harm. I will set Him above danger. Because He knows me by name, He will call on me and I will answer. I'll be with Him through the hard times. I'll rescue Him and grant Him honor. I'll reward Him with many good years on this earth and let Him witness my salvation. That comes from resting and trusting and abiding and living in that secret place with God. Step into it today. Ask Him, seek and knock. That's what we're going to talk about in Matthew chapter 7. Seek first the kingdom of God. Did we cover that today? It's Matthew 6:33, right? I think we did. Let's flip back and just revisit that for sure. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and everything you need will be added to you. Isn't that what the scripture says? Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness. I want you to say that with me. Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and everything you need will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you. That's the message for today. So Lord, today we seek You first. We trust in You. We rest in You. We abide in You. We surrender, God. And we love You. Thank You for loving us so much. Thank You for being peace to us and being blessing to us. Thank You, God, that we need only call and You will answer. Make us faithful and obedient servants to you. Make us willing to walk out a long obedience in the same direction, to learn perseverance and patience. Make us willing, God, to do your will and to focus our hearts on your kingdom and to declare your glory and bring your kingdom of heaven here to earth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Visit my website, michellebenthamcreates.com. You can catch this on iTunes on Saturday or on Podomatic.com on Sunday. Just search Michelle Bentham Creates in both places. Should be able to find it. You can follow me on Twitter at Michelle Bentham or like me on Facebook, Michelle Bentham Inspired Artist and Communicator. I'd love to hear from you and know what God is doing through our journey through the Gospels together. So jump in, read along. Be sure to read chapter 7 for yourself. We'll visit that on Monday. And I'm just praying that God blesses you with rest and peace this weekend and that you can trust and abide in Him throughout your entire weekend. Thank you for tuning in. I look forward to visiting with you again soon. Everything shared on this podcast, except for the voice translation of the Bible and the music, is copyright Michelle Bentham, 2009 to 2016, all rights reserved. Music is provided by bensound.com. The selection's Tenderness. And the Bible reading is from the Voice Translation, which is Thomas Nelson Publishers. Thanks for tuning in again. I'm so grateful to be able to serve you in this way. God bless.